want you to look into God's Word with us. Next few moments, and what we're going to say has got coming right out of God's Word. Amen. It's not our ideas, but it's just God's Word. So we invite you to look into the Word of God with us. Exodus 15. Please, if you don't have to get up, move around. Don't get up, move around. Listen intently what God has for you this morning. Exodus 15, I invite you to look with me. Verse number 22. The Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where the 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and the help that we find in the pages of this blessed King James Bible. And I pray in the next few moments as we look into your word, you'd speak to hearts and you'd speak to lives and encourage us and change us and help us, Lord, I pray, to be more like you. I thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Thank you for the testifying and the good singing and everything. Lord, how you've had your hand on this service thus far. And I pray, God, that you touch us as we try to preach. Fill me, Lord, I pray. Use me. Give me the unction, I pray, to preach in the power, demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Help us today for your sake and for Jesus' glory. We'll pray these things and ask him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Many times as we go through life and we're saved, most of you here this morning would testify and would say that you've been born again. And you know this is true, that many times we go through life, we face difficulties. What are difficulties? Circumstances that are not matching, they don't hold up to our expectation. And when we come up to a time in life when our expectation is not met, our desires are not fulfilled, we would call them a difficulty. And in those times, we have a choice. At times such as this, often we seem to forget just how good God has been. And I say this, when we go through hard times, we need to stop and pause and reflect. And when we go through these difficult times, it'd be a good time to not give up on God, but to look back and to reflect on how God has already been a blessing in your life, how he's brought you safe thus far, how he has been faithful. Thank God, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he is the same forever. But we become many times dissatisfied and discouraged when we come to difficulties in life. I'm talking about when we come into situations and circumstances in life when our desires and our expectations are unmet. And then in those times, you and I, we have a choice. What is our choice, preacher? Here's your choice. Are you going to become bitter, or are you going to become a better? You're going to face hard times in life. And I promise you, how you respond in those times will determine whether you become bitter or become better and then eventually blessed. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on that thought this morning. From bitterness to blessedness. From bitterness to blessedness. And I want to just stop and testify. And I want to thank God and tell you this morning by way of testimony and exhortation that we serve the God that is able to take you through the hard times of life. He's able to take you through the difficulties in life. And he is well able to take you from a time that would be a time of bitterness and to get you better and then get you blessed. I'm telling you, God is faithful. In the text that we read here in Exodus 15, we find that the Israelites, they were were facing a difficult situation and they responded in a negative way. You understand the text? Y'all understand? In Exodus 12 and through 14, they come out of Egypt. God, y'all know about the Passover lamb and how God brings them out. They put the blood on the doorpost and on the sides, and the death angel comes by, and then God delivers Israel out. And Moses takes Israel when they leave Egypt, and they go to the Red Sea. God brings them through the Red Sea. And then after they come to the Red Sea, hey, the Egyptian army, they're drowned, amen. God took care of them. And nation of Israel, they ought to have been on cloud 9 in Exodus 15. Miriam's leading in a praise hallelujah dance. They're having a good time praising the Lord in Exodus 15. But in the end of Exodus 15, they are 3 days out, and they come to this place called Marah, or Marah, however you want to say it. And they come to this place, and they don't find the water that they need, and they began to murmur. Now the Bible says in verse number 24 that the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" They're murmuring against the man of God. God gave them Moses to be a deliverer to them. Moses, the type of Christ, to deliver them and to bring them out. And thank God, Deuteronomy 6 said that listen, in Deuteronomy 6:23, the Bible said he brought them out that he might bring them in. Can I say to you, when God saved you, he didn't save you to leave you. He didn't save you to let you go. He didn't save you to let you perish. He didn't save you to turn you down. I'm telling you, he brought you out so that he might bring you in. God saved you for a purpose. God saved you, and he had a design in mind for your life. He's got a purpose for you. God has something for you. God didn't save you to turn you loose, let you go and say, "I give up on thee." God has a plan for your life. Can I say God had a plan for these Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt? They were God's people. He chose them. He loved them. He drew them out and led them out of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea. And here they are in the wilderness 3 days out. 3 days now. Hey, and they began to murmur. Not 3 years, not 30 years, not 3 decades, but 3 days. Isn't that the tendency? They began to murmur against God's man, who was acting in God's plan. I remind you that when they come to Marah, they were in the divine will of God. They were following the man of God. They were doing the plan of God. They were in God's will, if you want to say it that way. They weren't backsliding. They weren't going the wrong way. They were in God's will, and they come into a hard place in life. Oh yeah, you're going to have hard times in life. And they begin to grumble. That's the word murmur. They begin to complain. They become obstinate. They had a grudge, if you will. And I will say this, just get ahead of myself just for a second. They wasn't really as mad as Moses as they really was questioning God. What can we learn from this passage? Because the Bible tells us that the things were written aforetime are for our learning. And so as we look into the book of Exodus here this morning, I want you to notice some biblical truths concerning difficulties in our Christian life. Biblical truths. I'm interested in what the Bible says. Amen. I don't care about Dr. Phil. I wouldn't give two flips for Oprah Winfrey and all that garbage. I want to know, what does God say? Amen. Don't bow out on me. Say amen. I care about what God says. What does God say? Number one, you need to notice some truth of the fact of difficulty. The facts of difficulty. Can I say to you this morning, difficult times come to all. I'm talking about it rains on the just and the unjust. Oh yes, good neighbor. Jesus said, in this world, he said, you shall have tribulation. Oh yeah, it's going to come. Matter of fact, he said, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But thank God, not only did Jesus say in John 16 that you shall have a tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hey, but you need to know, Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days, and listen, and full of trouble. Oh yeah, you're going to have hard times. You say, well, that so-and-so is going through a hard time. They must be backslid. Hey, what about old Job? The Bible said Job was perfect and upright in all his ways. And even when the hard times come, he didn't curse God. He didn't reject God. He didn't backslide. The Bible said he sinned not. Oh yeah, hard times come when you're living for God. And hard times do come when you're backslid. Hey, but listen, they come also when you're serving God, doing the best of your ability. You're walking in the will of God. Hey, the nation of Israel, they were in God's will. They were following the man of God. They come out of Egypt. They were trusting God. If you listen, if you see the Red Sea part like yonder and dry ground, and you start walking out in the middle of it, you're trusting God. Oh yeah, they didn't have tanks and bridges and boats. Hey, they was walking. I believe they was kicking up dust going across the Red Sea, walking through there. Trusting God. Come out on the other side and Miriam starts praising. Hey, and dancing. Don't get mad at me. The Bible says she was dancing, playing timbrels, praising God. I know Baptists don't like that, but it's in the Bible. As long before Azusa Street, long before the Pentecostals come along, God's people was praising God. Oh yeah. But 3 days later, they come to Marah. What was about Marah? That word Marah means bitter. What happened when they got there, preacher? Look in verse number 22. Hey, watch now. They came to a desert place. A desert place. The Bible says in the middle of that verse, and they went 3 days in the wilderness. 3 days in the wilderness. What is a wilderness, preacher? Well, a wilderness is just that. It's a deserted place. A wilderness is a place that is uninhabited. In this day, they were in between Egypt and what we know as Palestine. And here they are. They had left Egypt. They what? Listen, that's a picture of being saved. They left the world. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Oh, yeah. They're not lost anymore. They're not in the world. But they hadn't yet got to the promised land. And they're in a wilderness. And can I say to you that you that are saved this morning, you're not to be living in the world. You're not in the bondage of sin anymore. But God doesn't intend for you to live in the wilderness. God has a promised land for you. And if you're not walking in victory, if you're not living by faith in the victory, you are in the wilderness. And here they were in a wilderness, an inhabited place. Not only was it a desert place, but it was a dry place. Look in verse 22. It said, and they found no water. Do you see that? They found no water. Now you understand they had been on the move. They had been journeying 3 days. And listen, I've been up here about 10 minutes and I'm already thirsty. Hey, but hey, 3 days journey, they get to this place, Marah, in the wilderness, and the Bible says they found no water. No, hey, let me say this. How disappointing that would have been. How disappointing that would have been. Hey, we believed God. We left Egypt. Down in Egypt, there was wells. Down in Egypt, we had plenty to eat. Down in Egypt, we had everything we needed. That's what the devil's going to throw in your face. You got saved and you're going to live for God. You've turned your back on the world and here you are trying to live for God. Now you hit a hard time. Hey, before you got saved, everything was all right. I reckon it was. You wasn't fighting the devil when you was in the world. Are you listening to me? Hey, but now you're in the army of the Lord. You're going to have some hard time, but they come to a dry place. Hey, let me say this. Every Christian's going to come to a time in their life after they get saved that you're going to face a dry place. Because you're going to get out of the world and you're not yet fully understanding and knowing everything God has for you. And you're going to hit a place in life and there's going to be a time of proving, a time of understanding and learning. Hey, listen, I don't need to go back to the world. I need to keep pressing on. God has something for me. It's a dry place. Oh, yeah, dry place. Don't get discouraged when you come to a dry place. When you come to dry places, that's when you look further and press on the upward way and you look closer into God's word and you find, what does God have for me? I promise you, God can spread a table in the wilderness. God has what you need. Oh yes, there is a place where the hungry are fed. Hey, there's a well. I'm telling you this morning, there's water for you. God has something for you. Don't give up when it comes to a dry place. You that haven't been saved very long, there's going to come to a point in your life and you're going to have decisions to make. You're going to think, oh, it's empty. Hey, listen, hey, it's a time of learning. It's a time of education. It's a time that God is proving you and He wants to take you to a better place, but He's got to get you through the bitter place. It's a desert place. It's a dry place. And watch this. It was a despised place. Oh, yeah, verse 23 and verse 24 says, and when they came to Marah, not only at first they found no water, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. They were bitter. Oh, 3 days' journey. First they find no water, and then when they find water, it's bitter. The word bitter comes from a word that means to be sharp to the taste. It's biting. When they tasted it, they knew something was wrong with the water. It wasn't water that was enjoyable. It wasn't water that was nutritious to them. This word bitter is closely related to the taste of like a wormwood, which was in actuality really a poisonous almost plant. It's a plant that caused you to have a nauseous taste. And that's where the word bitter comes from, the wormwood. And that's what they tasted. They tasted this bitter. And so as they come to this place, that's the water they found. And verse 24 says that the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" They should have remembered that not long ago, God had brought them out of Egypt. God had delivered them. God had brought them out of bondage. And God had brought them to where they were now, 3 days out. They should have remembered how God destroyed the Egyptian army that was behind them. They should have remembered how God had brought them safe thus far. Are you listening? Had they remembered that, they would have now known that He had a plan for them. They would have understood that He brought them out and He planned to bring them in to another spot in their life. And He would then provide for them. He would supply their needs. But they began to murmur against Moses. In reality, I'd already told you this, but in reality, when they murmured against Moses, they were really doubting God. I ask you a question. Are we not prone to do the same? Difficulties in life. Be honest, we're all made of flesh. We're no different than those Israelites. We're prone to wander, prone to stray, prone to leave the God we love, prone to doubt, prone to hit a hard spot and say, "Where's God? God, why'd you do this? God, did you forget about me?" Are we not? And if we're not careful, we'll mess up in times like that. But let me say this. There is the fact we're going to have difficulties. They had difficulty. They had a dry place. They had a desert place. They had a despised place. A place that, listen, had they responded like they did negatively, and if you respond and I respond in those hard times and those difficulties of life, those times that we don't understand, "God, what are we going to drink? Hey, have you forgot about us?" If we turn on God, then we won't learn the lesson and we won't get to where God wants us to go. He's got a place for you. Notice this, I don't just see the fact of the difficulty, but I see the fix. The fix. Notice the fix of difficulty. Notice verse 25. Verse 24, they come murmuring, they're complaining, they're grumbling. Now, what shall we drink? Watch now. Let me just pause and say, if God can move a whole sea out of the way, He can bring a sea to you if He needs to give you something to drink. But watch verse 25. And he, that's Moses, he cried unto the Lord. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. Can I say, when you come into difficulty, it'd be a good time to pray. It's easy to murmur. It's easy to complain. It's easy to grumble. It's easy to gossip. Be a good time to pray. Thank God the man of God was wise enough that he said, hey, there ain't no help down here. I got to look up. My help come from above. And the Bible said that Moses began to cry out to the Lord, verse 25. And when he cried out to the Lord, not only see the prayer, but we see the provision. Watch this now. This is good. This may not come out quite as good as it's in me, but I promise you, in me, it's up and down the stairs, jumping jacks, roller coasters. I'm telling you, that thing's having a good time inside of me. Watch now. Here's the fix. Here's the provision. God, watch this. Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. I like this. And the Lord showed him a tree. Some of y'all's already going where I'm already at. The Lord showed him a tree. Can I say, when we look at this passage, we see the revelation of the tree. The Lord showed him the tree. The Lord showed him. Hey, what, nobody else showed him the tree? Hey, but the Lord showed him. He's praying. He's saying, "God, I got a problem. These people's grumbling. What am I going to do?" And God says, "Hey, I got a tree over here." There's the application of the tree. It wasn't good enough just to know there was a tree. But he said, "You got to cast the tree into the water." Verse 25 says, "When he had cast the water, when he had cast it into the waters." Y'all watch me now. God said, "Hey, Moses, you got a problem? There's a tree. Moses, if that tree's going to help you, you got to apply it to the situation. You're going to have situations in life. But if you're going to fix your situation, you're going to have to make the application." Oh, yeah. There is the revelation. There is the application. But I like this. There is the satisfaction of the tree. Watch this. Which when he had cast into the waters, watch this, the waters were made sweet.
Hey, wait a minute. These were bitter waters. These were those waters that were biting to the taste. These were those waters that didn't satisfy. They weren't able to drink it. These were those waters that were doing them no good. But God said, you put a tree in the water and I'll make the water sweet. Now, understand now, the water was actually made sweet by the Lord. He made the tree. Amen. And he told them to put the tree in the water. They put the tree in the water, and the Lord, hey, when they put the tree in the water in obedience, hey, the Lord made the water sweet. Can I just take you in my mind where I'm at? When we face great difficulties in life, and we will. Hey, even in God's pathway, we're walking on an old pathway. We're walking with the Lord. Hey, we're going to face difficulties. Hey, we're going to come to times of bitterness in our life. We're going to come to the bitter places in life. But I want to say to you this morning that God can make the bitter place become a better place by showing you a tree. Hey, God can show you a tree. I'm talking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about what no matter what the situation may be, it may be a situation you face at work. It may be a situation you face at church. It may be a relationship you have with someone. It may be some circumstance nobody else knows about. But when you face these circumstances where your desires and your expectations are unmet and you're tempted to become bitter, I'm telling you that God in heaven can make these times better if we'll look to the tree, amen. If you look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, God can take your bitter and make it better. Put a tree in the water, Moses. Hey, it's bitter. Put the tree in it. Look at the tree. Put the tree in the middle of your difficulty. Put the tree in the middle of your bitter place. And your bitter will be better. Oh, yeah. He put a tree. Hey, it's bitter. It's hard. It's nasty. It's hard to deal with. I don't want to face it. I can't handle it. I can't drink it. It's not helping me. God said, put a tree in it. I thank God. God put a tree in it. Can I say at the Lord, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. Oh, it's a great picture of the cross. I don't care what nobody tells you, it's a great picture of the cross. Now you look at the cross, and the cross will help you take the bitter and make it better. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus yielded his will. Y'all remember at Gethsemane, he said, if there be any other way, Lord God, he said, Father, let this cup pass. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He humbled himself. He yielded his will. None of that, at the cross, Jesus forgave his enemies. Oh, yeah, y'all remember that? He forgave his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them. For what? They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You're going to come into times in life, and it may be a hard time, maybe a difficult time, and it's a bitter place. And God can make it better if you're humble, if you be yielded. And then at times you have to forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 31, 32. Listen to that. Let all bitterness, in the New Testament. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Say, preacher, you don't know what so-and-so done to me. You don't know the situation. You don't know what happened in my relationship. You don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. Hey, but oh, I know what you did to Jesus. I know what I did to Jesus. I know he was a man that was despised and rejected of men, and yet he went to the old rugged cross willingly. He said, no man took his life. He laid it down. And the Lord Jesus laid down his life, and he hung on an old rugged cross. And from that cross, where men done him wrong, where men beat him, where men spat upon him, where men crucified him, and he hung there for our sins. And on that cross, he wasn't there for what he did. He was there for what you did and for what I did. And while he's on there, he says, Father, forgive them. You can't get over what Wiggle Jaw said about you. Father, forgive them. I'm talking about, he was talking to the folks right there in front of me. He was talking about them, those that actually drove the nail. He was talking about Nero. He was talking about Hitler. He was talking about Saddam Hussein. The Ted Bundys and the Jeffrey Dahmers of the world. But he's also talking about you. Oh yeah, Romans chapter number 5 makes it real clear that before you got saved, you were at enmity with God. You're an enemy of his. But while he's on the cross, he says, Father, forgive him. In Ephesians, he said, I'm to forgive you. You're to forgive me. We're to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. So you can't do it for Christ's sake.
Do it for Christ. I'm telling you that when you come into hard times, if it's dealing with a person or whatever it's dealing with, if you'll just look at the cross, and you look at how Jesus humbled himself, and he went, can I tell you this morning that the Bible, the cross would not have been an enjoyable thing. Galatians 3:13 says that cursed is every man hanging on a tree. Amen. The cross was a cruel death. Why do you think the Bible said in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself, become obedient to death, even the death of the cross? Amen. He didn't just die, but he died the cruel death of the cross. Amen. It was a curse to be on a tree. Can I say to you that being on the cross was not an enjoyable thing? Amen. Hanging on an old rugged cross was not something that you would desire. It's not a death that you would desire. But Jesus willingly humbled himself and become obedient to that type of death. Oh, yeah, he said, Father, this is the way we're going to go. There will come times in life you're going to face situations and you ain't going to like it. I'm just being honest. You're going to do things and God's going to say, hey, this is God's will and you're walking in God's plan. And you may say, God, if there's any other way, show it to me. But God, if this is the way, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. You know what he's doing at these times? He's doing to you just like he's doing to these Israelites. Hey, watch me now. I want to get this out. God, listen, God took these Israelites from bitter to better. Listen closely. From bitter to better, and never changed their location. They were in the same place. Same puddle of water. He took them from bitter to better. He didn't change their location. He changed their look. He changed their look. He changed their perspective. He changed the way they were looking at this thing. Watch now. He put a cross. He put a cross. A tree, if you will. He put the tree in the bitter water. Right where the bitter water had been. He put a tree. I don't know if this is coming out like it's stirring inside of me. But when I face these hard times, when I face these difficult things, these situations, I don't know how to understand it. And inside of me, it wants to crush me. It's pulling me down. It makes me want to have hard time and hard feelings. And it just makes me want to be cruel. Hey, God says, hey, look at the tree. I put the tree in. And when you take the tree, you let the cross get in the bitter place. Hey, the bitter can become better. And you don't even have to move. There's a tree. Thank God for the cross, the cross, and the cross, and the cross where I first saw the light. The burdens of my soul rolled away. Thank God for the cross, amen. Our perspective, look at the cross, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the cross wasn't the joy. Watch this now. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Are you listening to me? He saw the other side. You're going through these times. Hey, you hit this bitter place. If you looked at the cross, you're going to find out God's got something better on the other side. You can't. Many times. Oh, Lord help me. Many times we try to escape. Many times we try to get away. I mean, we tend to leave or take a roundabout and get away from. We try to escape the difficult times. Do we not? Well, that's a hard time. I'm just going to skirt around that. We try to go around it. Oh, God help us. God says, don't go around it. God says, look at the cross. Look at the cross. The Israelites' response, watch this. Their response, their responsibility was to obey. And it was up to them whether they would or not. Verse 25 said, and it was there, watch this, the last part of that verse, and there he proved them. Understand now, he was not punishing them with this hard place. He was proving them. Hey, listen, he was educating them, if you will. He wasn't trying to eradicate them. He wasn't trying to thirst them to death, feed them poison water. No, God was trying to prove them and to show them, hey, you can learn to lean. Learning to lean, you can trust him. Hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will. He shall direct thy path. Are you listening to me? You're going to come in hard times in your life. I'm telling you, it may be a person, it may be a place, it may be a job. I don't know what is going to come in your life, but you're going to come to a time in your life and you're going to be tempted to respond negatively and become bitter. And God says, if you'll just look to the cross, I can make it better. God proves this many times with difficulties. Disappointments. Listen, one man said it like this. Disappointments are God's appointments. Disappointments are God's appointments. See, when I'm on the mountain, I think everything's all right. I mean, when I'm on the mountain, many times, if we're not careful, we're like, I don't need nothing. I'm good. But when I hit that valley, when I hit that hard time, it's then I realize I need Him. It's then it's brought to our reality. It's brought into our face, and we have to reflect and say, oh, I need Him. I need Thee every hour. Amen. And we learn to lean. I'm learning to lean, amen? When you go through these times, that's what we're doing. We're learning that we can trust Him. Bitter or better? The choice is yours. The question is how you're going to respond. Bitter or better? Are you going to look at the crowd? Are you going to listen to the cries? Or are you going to look at the cross? Oh, yeah. God put a tree in it. God said, I got a tree. I can bring that tree over here to your bitter place, and I can make it better. But wait a minute, I'm not done. The story's not over. Not only did God give them a better place, not only did He fix the difficulty, but there was a future after the difficulty. Notice this in verse 27. Notice that not only did God make the bitter waters better, He made them sweet. That means they were able to drink them. Probably tasted like Coca-Cola, Brother Jerry. Amen. He made them sweet. Amen. Fooey on that diet stuff. He didn't say He made them just bland water. He said He made them sweet. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, it's good old Coca-Cola. Sweet. No, it was water. But He made them sweet. He made it good to taste. Watch this. But not only did He make bitter waters better, but He led them to a place of blessedness. They learned they could trust Him. Put a tree in it. God fixed it. And then God took them to the other side. Who for the joy of that was set before Him. God took them to the joy. Watch. Oh. Let's read verse 27. I know y'all don't forgot. And they came. Here they He's proved them. He's told them to keep the ordinances and the statutes. Verse 27. And they came to Elim. So that they've left Marah. They come to Elim. And there was, what's this now? Where were 12 wells of water. 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Palm trees. Is that not a sign of a blessing? Some of y'all would like to be where palm trees are at this morning. Palm trees. Hey, what He's showing them, He brought them to a place that where blessings were abundant. They come out of the trial. They went through the hard time. God put a tree in and He fixed the bitter, made it better. And then He said, I got something even better than better. I got something that's blessed. 12 wells of water. Hey, you got anything to drink? Oh, 70 palm trees? Here's some water. Hey, you're in the wilderness. Here's some shade. They're down there in an oasis. Hey, watch it now. 7 miles south of Marah. It wasn't far off. God, you got anything to drink? What are we going to drink? God knew that 7 miles away, He had 12 wells, 70 palm trees. I'm seeing clear waters and beaches and palm. I don't know what it was about, how it was all. But God said, hey, I got something for you. But before I can get you there, I got to take you to the bitter place. And I got to teach you, you can trust me in the bitter to make it better. Along with times of testing and times of proving, God also has times and places in our lives of great blessings. And of refreshing, if we'll learn to trust Him, and we'll learn to follow Him. But many times, we're trying to take the shortcut. We're taking a route. We're trying to go around. And if we're not careful, we'll wind up back down in Egypt thinking, oh, didn't Egypt have water? They was down there. They was nice to us down there. If we're not careful, we'll try to avoid the hard times, and we'll wind up back down yonder where we was in bondage. And you don't have to go back to bondage. If you learn to trust God at the bitter place, God can take you not only to a better place, but to a blessed place. But there's many a folk that are saved, and they're running back to bondage. It's hard.
Sometimes it is hard. But hey, thank God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, His grace is sufficient. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hey, get in the Word of God. Learn that you can walk by faith. And hey, the faith of God is our victory. But you better learn. God has a time of blessing and a time of refreshing. But you're going to have to learn to trust Him. You're going to have to learn to obey Him. You're going to have to respond in the proper way when it comes to the places of bitterness in your life. There will be a Marah, that bitter place. But along with Marah, God will also have an Elam. God will also have an Elam. He's got a place awaiting you of blessedness. Hey, watch this. After the trial, God will bring you to triumph. After the rain, God will show you the rainbow. After the night, God will bring up the sun. There'll be a brand new day. Psalm 30 verse 5, the psalmist said in the middle part of that verse, he said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm telling you, God has a place of blessedness for you, but if you're content to remain at the place of bitterness, you'll never get better and you'll never experience the blessings that God has awaiting you. God has a place. God has, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to learn to trust Him. You're going to have to learn to look to the tree at the bitter place. And you're going to have to let Him make the bitter better. And when you let Him make the bitter better, He can take you down to the place of blessedness that awaits you. Let me say this. You cannot get from the place of Marah to the place of Elam and bypass the tree. Are you listening? You can't get from the hard spot to the heavenly spot and bypass the cross. Let me say this morning. You may be here lost. You can't escape hell and enter heaven and bypass the cross. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You may be here this morning, you're lost. You've never been brought out of Egypt. Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't come out of Egypt, if you don't trust Jesus Christ, hey, I'm telling you, if the blood's not applied to your life, you're going to stay in bondage and you're going to wind up in a place called hell. You got to trust Christ to get out of Egypt. And then after you get out of Egypt, after you're saved, you're going to face bitter times. You're going to face hard spots. And how you going to get through them? Well, you either going to become bitter, keep looking at that, or you're going to become better. I like this. Somebody said this. Said, if you look at the world around you, you'll become distressed. If you look at yourself only, you'll become depressed. But if you'll look to Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed and at rest. Where are you looking at this morning when you come to hard spots in life? As the pianist plays, we're standing all across the auditorium going to the Lord in prayer. You're hitting a hard spot, God's got a tree. God has a tree. Can I encourage you? Look to the tree. Father, in Jesus' name, God, help us this morning to go from bitter to blessed by trusting You and looking to the tree. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your word. Help us this morning as only You can do. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart. You need to